Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thankful for His presence. Thankful for His touch. Matthew chapter 16. I need your prayers tonight. I don't want to be anything other than what the Lord wants me to be. I want to be a blessing, be a help to you tonight. This appreciate the meeting, times I've had been able to come and the help I've got. Amen. It's good to be with each one of you. Matthew chapter 16, I'll take up reading verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But who say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You can be seated tonight. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me tonight, on a subject that's been on my heart for a few days. I feel like it's for me to preach this in this meeting. I want to preach on the church. That's what's on my heart, the church. And so tonight, that's what I will endeavor to do with the help of God, is just to preach about the church and some things about the church. I'm glad tonight that I am part of the church. I'm glad I'm a part of the church, ain't you? I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad of some things that He has promised the church. I'm glad of some things He has said about the church in the Word of God. And I appreciate being a part of the church. I'm glad I was took to church, as we call it, going to church. But I'm not talking about just a religious going through. And now that people do, you know, a lot of people get up and go to church. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. And so I went to church before I was ever a part of the church. You know what I'm saying? And we have been affected more by religion and time than we probably want to admit. And there's a lot of formality in our lives and how we go to church, customs, traditions, and they vary from here to there. There was a cult out west somewhere. They could not have been a cult, but I heard that they said they was, and they asked them where they went to church. They wanted to know, "Where's your church? Where's your church building?" And they said, "Well, we don't go to church. We are the church." Now, that fits us if we are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. We really need to get that down, that we're just as much the church on Monday as we are on Sunday morning. We really need to know that. There's been preaching in this meeting that has helped us and challenged us to be outside of the four walls of this building that we might call the church, or the church house, be out there what we are in here. And we are the light of the world. Brother Mayo was talking about fleeing into the temple. We have four-wall Christianity, and that's not the type of Christianity that you find in the Bible. And so I want to preach on the church tonight. It's on my heart. I'm going to have to just turn loose and let God have me. But I look at this scripture here, and I see a statement here that really touched me, and I've looked at a lot in my life, thought about it a lot. But Peter is here, others, and he says, who do men say that I am? And he says, well, some say you're Elias, some John the Baptist, some Jeremiah. He said, but who do you say I am? And he said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he says that you've not just figured this out on your own, and flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. This had to come unto you by revelation. this surety that you know that I am the Christ, God had to show that to you. And he says, upon this rock, upon this confession that I am the Christ, and of course we know that Christ himself is the rock, upon this rock, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what that he said. And so I was thinking about that, and I was looking at that, and I've been praying about it some, and I came across some thoughts about it, and some people and things different people thought about it, and then I prayed through that, and I come to this one thing about the church. I see in our day that we act like, or we may paint the picture as the church, that we're on the defensive end of all of this, and that Satan has got us all run over here somewhere in a corner. But that's not what he's saying here. He says that upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We see the church here on offense and hell on defense. Now that's right, friend, and that's the way that it is. As feeble of a few as they were over there, when Nehemiah and them began to build the wall, God had put something in their heart, and it was going to be done. And God has put some things in our heart, and God has purposed some things in Christ, and in Christ it's as good as done in heaven. And he said, when you pray, I say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and concerning the church, it will be. The church is an unstoppable force that is set in forward motion from heaven, and the devil can't stop us. Are you hearing me tonight? He said, He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to try to just wade into this and give you some thoughts that has been on my heart. I want to say tonight, I'm glad I'm part of the building. I'm glad I'm part of the church building. You read over there in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 where the church is likened unto a building. And he said it is a building that is framed. It is a building that's built. He said, of course, we know that Christ is the rock. Paul spoke of the Christian life, Christ being the foundation. And he said, build upon that. And so it is true, the songwriter wrote, upon Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's the story of the wise man and the foolish man. He said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that dug down deep till he hit something solid, a rock, and he built on that. That is the message to us, that we are to build our life upon Christ, he being our foundation. The foolish man, I heard the words and didn't do that. Built upon the sand, that's the world, the flesh, anything you want to call it outside of Christ. And the winds blew just like they did upon the other house. One stood, the other and fell. And so he said that the church, when he wrote to the Ephesian believers, it was like a building. He said it is built upon the foundation of the apostles. He put them in the church first. And Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I mean, he's the first stone laid in. It started from there, derived from him. And so I'm glad I'm part of the building, ain't you? Now it says this building is framed together. It refers to the building as being fitly framed together. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about a spiritual building. Peter said the church was a spiritual building. He said it was built of stone. Believers who are, and ye are lively stones, he said, have built up a spiritual house. Isn't that what he said? And so I'm glad that I'm part of the building. Now this building is something special. He says that this building, we grow up, we are erected into a holy temple. Ain't that what it says? And it says we are the habitation of God. That's a big deal right there. I'm telling you, God had lived lives in the church. The church is a living organism, friend, and the Lord lives in the church. He chose a place of His dwelling in our day. It's in the New Testament church. Do you believe that? That the church is the building of God. He said, ye are God's building. Ye are God's husbandry. And so I'm glad tonight to be part of the church. I'm glad to be part of the building, ain't you? Now the church has been likened unto the ship, the old ship of Zion. It can be likened unto many things, but right now my heart is on the building. I'm glad to be part of a building, ain't you? I'm glad to be part of a building that can't be burned, thank God. I'm glad to be part of a building that the wind can't blow hard enough to take it down. I'm telling you, the wind has blown real hard against God's people now for over 2,000 years. I'm telling you, she's still standing upright. I'm glad I'm part of the building tonight. I'm glad I'm part of the church. And the Lord said He built it on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm glad to be part of the church tonight. I'm glad, ain't you, to be part of the building. I'm glad I'm inside the building. He's in me and I'm in Him, thank God. Hey, yes, brother, I asked him Lockard to explain security. I'm glad I'm in the house. I ain't got time to tell how he explained security, but he told it really good. You know the story about how, right quick. He said, you know, you're in God's hand and in Christ's hand. And he said, you know, how that the devil's got to pry loose all five of God's big fingers, and there I am in Christ's hand. And then he's got to pry loose all of Christ and say he could do all of that. There I am down there in that blood. And he said, you know, he ain't going to fool with me. He's got to get down that blood to get me. And he said, if he did that, he'd be one saved devil. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm in the house tonight. I'm glad I'm in the building. That's the safest place to be. That's the safest place to be, is in the church. I'm glad of that, ain't you? I'm glad I'm in the building tonight. I'm glad I'm in the building. Lord said, I was thinking of that, and I don't try to put B's together or P's together. One young preacher said he had a good message. He had 4 points, yeah, but he needed one more T. Just preach. If God gives it to you that way, that's wonderful. But just preach. But I did think about the body. I am glad I'm in the body, ain't you? I'm glad I'm in the body. He says that the church is a body. And not just the body is not one, but it's many that make up the body. Nobody's body has just one member. You've got the hand, the foot, the eye, all of these things. Corinth needed that. Paul was teaching him that to understand they were members of one another. I'm glad I'm part of the body. Now the devil could make any of us could fall in the trap, make us think, I don't need this one, I don't need that one. But I remember hurting my thumb once real bad, and when my wife had to come and help me button up my shirt, my button up down the front shirts and help me with all that, I understood my thumb meant a lot more to me than I thought. Now there's parts of the body that we don't seem like bestow a whole lot of honor, but if it's part of the body, it's part of us. Don't no man despise his own flesh. He says, love one another. I'm glad we can come together under one roof as one body, ain't you? The Bible said that we are members of one another. And so I'm glad I'm part of the body tonight. That's the church. That's the church. I'm glad I'm part of the body. A living organism, a body, a moving, something that moves. Something that sees and hears and has got life in it. Oh yes, he brought us together as a body. And we are the body of Christ. God works through the church. I want to say if there's some type of organization you're a part of that you're sending money to and doing something good, I'm not going to harp on that tonight, but the best thing you could invest in is get active in the church. Am I right about that? Do something through the church. That's what Christ died for, the church. He didn't die for the Mason's Lodge or the Sportsman's Club or any club or any other organization. He died for the church. And that's what he works through. If he said that was his habitation, that's where he's going to move, ain't it? At the church. In the church. Through the church. We are the body of Christ. I'm glad I'm part of the body. I could preach tonight about being part of the bride, I guess. I thought about it today a little bit sitting there just pondering around. I thought about this. Now this, some of you would be better at explaining some of this stuff, or you could give more info than I could, but it's not always about info. But I thought about the bride, and I thought about, in our culture, the bride, the one that fixes herself up for the groom. But in our situation, it's the groom that's fixing herself up for himself. Ain't that the way it is? I mean, he's the one that's getting wrinkles out, not us. He's the one that's cleaning us up and getting us fit, the Bible said, to present us to the Father. Ain't that right? I mean, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That's the bride. I mean, that's the most beautiful thing that the Bible ever says what is the bride, the church. I mean, God has His eye on it. I was thinking about Abraham when he sent the servant into the land to get Isaac a bride or a wife, and Rebekah was there. And you know the story and the types that you can make within that story there. But she gets on the camel, and I've heard a lot of different things preached about that. But as she journeys along, he just puts a necklace on her here and an earring on her there until that day that everything's just right. And she gets off the camel, and there her and Isaac are, and it's a happily ever after story. Well, that's the way it's going to be with Christ and His church. And we're on the journey here, going through a desert land, and we sung about home a while ago, and we're going to that place, that fair land. That's what he's went away, just as they did literally in their customs, to prepare a place for the bride, and they would go away, and Christ has said unto His bride, to His church, that He is going to go away. He said, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That excites me and makes me glad I'm part of the bride. Ain't you glad of that? Now, I could get on some things there that you might lose you, and I'm not going to, but I'm glad I'm part of the church. And if I'm part of the church, I'm part of the body. And if I'm part of the body, I'm part of the bride. I believe that's right. I mean, I've studied this backwards and forwards and every which way, because where I live, Baptists don't all believe the same. And I'm sure we don't hear. But if I just preach the Bible, you just have to just argue with God if you're going to argue with me. That's what I'm going to do tonight. But I'm glad I'm part of the church. I'm glad I'm part of a people that's in forward motion, ain't you? We're going somewhere. When the devil tells us we ain't, we are. Positionally, we're in Christ. Brother Tolkien said it's like this all the way. It may feel like, one man said, ever since I got in, I've never been out. I've been up and down a lot, but never been out. Amen. We're one step closer home than we were yesterday. Amen. We are. I'm glad I'm part of the church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some people believe that that is just hell itself, not literally burning hell, but just the forces of it. The enemy, the devil, his workers, his angels, whatever that opposes the church, that the church will eventually, and is doing so, triumphing over it. Our Christ did. Our head did. He is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. And He triumphed over them. And just as He did, so will we. We are following in His steps. He went to the grave, and so will we. But He got up, and so will we.
Amen.
Amen. Some believe that the gates of hell is maybe death. Some believe it's different things. But the word here for a minute I might dwell upon is prevail. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail. I think about this word. I think about Moses and Aaron and Hur when Joshua and Amalek were at war. And the Bible said that Moses stood on the hill and he lifted up his arms. And as long as he stayed his arms, God's people would prevail. But when he got weary and his arms began to go down, Amalek would prevail. But the Bible said that Aaron and Hur noticed, and they got where he was, and they lifted his arms up and held up his arms, and they took him and they set him upon a rock. And the Bible said that God's people prevailed. I'm telling you, that's a picture there, is it not, of God's people prevailing. We will prevail. Christ prevailed first, and prevailed at Calvary. Isn't that true? I mean, his soul travailed. Someone mentioned a fellow the other day. Brethren, God's not forgot anybody's good that they've done for the kingdom. And they didn't mention his name, but I very well remember somewhere sitting here, and Brother Anthony Green preached a message here on his shoulder. Some of you were here, and he preached about the Lord taking the sacrifice or us of the Lamb and laying it on his shoulder. And he was walking that aisle with his coat on his shoulder, and he referenced over there in the Old Testament about the heave offering. And he said it was like Christ upon the cross with our sins on his shoulders, and he just kept heaving, and he just kept heaving until he was able to cry, "It's finished." I see that when they set Aaron upon the rock, and them people got beside him and held his arms, and God's people prevailed. I see at Calvary that our Savior hung there. It didn't keep him there. It wasn't no three rusty nails that hung him there. It was love that hung him there. It was God that put him there, and it was God that kept him there until the debt was paid, thank God. That brother I preached about last night behind my pulpit on the wall is Jesus paid it all. Thank God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. God's people are victors. We're not victims. I understand that we come in a day. We were born in this day for this day. We are living in fulfillment of prophecies. But he never told us to be sorry for ourselves. He never did. I do it, but he never told me to do that. No, sir, I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I've been made a winner. I ain't got to wait. I've been made a winner. If we didn't know where we was headed and that we could have victory in the Lord, we couldn't sing a lot of the songs we sing. You follow Moses and him out of Egypt. You see them come up to a Red Sea, and you see God's people go across, and you see them on the other side. And I'm telling you, spiritually, you look at the church, you will see her on the other side with all of her enemies and those who aren't a part of her floating around in the waters of life on that side of the sea dead. But God's people's on the other side are singing a good song. That's you and me. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. I believe it. I'm glad I'm part of the church. I'm glad I'm part of a church that it's the price the brother preached about last night. We sang victory in Jesus. He sought me and he bought me. Peter said, we're not redeemed of corruptible things like silver or gold. Talked about things they received from their traditions and the conversation of their fathers, but it was by the precious blood of Christ. He purchased the church, the Bible said, with his own blood. We're in a bought crowd. We've been bought. He bought the church. I want to just say this right here. I was going to preach at a little church down home called Beach Grove one time. There's a fella got up and he got stirred up about the church. And he said, now, you know, you got these people says the church ought to be called a Baptist. You got the group who believes the church should be the church of Christ. Or you got the church of God. All these names are in the Bible. He got up, and here's what he said. I'm going to just say what he said. He said the Lord took, here's what he said now. He said the Lord took 12 of the baptism of John, and he did. And he said that made it a Baptist church. Here's what he said now. He said, and God sent it out in the world, put wheels on it. And that made it a missionary Baptist church. That's what he said. Right? We got a separate Baptist here tonight. I believe every Baptist ought to be separate, don't you? You ought to live a separate life. I see some free will Baptists. I'm glad I'm free tonight of sin and the will of God. Ain't you? I don't know if I got a united or not. Y'all, some of you know what it is. You figure, depends on where you go what a united is. Depends on where you go what a separate Baptist is. Depends on where you go what a free will Baptist is. So I'm telling you, the name of the door don't mean a whole lot, friend. But it's about what's on the inside. I tell you, I don't feel bad about singing a song Brother Ronnie preached about last night that an old Methodist lady wrote. Do you? That don't bother me. Amen. It don't bother me one bit. I'm just glad I'm part of the church. I'm glad I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm glad I'm part of the building.
And I'm telling you, if you want to be blessed, you get in the right kind of church. Brother Larry Neal preached one time for me in a revival and said, what would you do about the man, the fool, who built big barns, you know, and said, I'm gonna build bigger barns. Somebody mentioned it. Brother Ronnie did. He said, if y'all just knew you had a few hours to live, he said, I'd want to first know I'm saved and this and that. He said, I'd want to be in the right kind of church. Well, I believe that. I'm telling the church ain't up in the sky. I believe it's visible. Don't you? I believe the church is visible. I believe the church is an assembly. The Bible says that we're coming to Mount Zion. It's the church of the firstborn. It's the general assembly. Hebrews said, for not be as some who forsake the assembly, the manner of some is. But he said, then exhort one another the more so as you see the day approaching. I'm telling you, you're finding out what the real church is. You're finding out what the real church is. I'm telling you, she's still meeting. Yes, sir. The real church honestly never did protest. I don't believe that. I don't believe the church derived years after Christ. I don't believe that. It started with Christ. He's the founder of it. There's been some people doing right ever since right after Calvary. Hey, wasn't very many of them either. It don't take a bunch of them, just a few. And the Bible said that just a few in the book of Acts turned the world upside down. Listen, it's not numbers. Our strength is not in numbers. Our strength is in who we belong to. Our strength is in who we are. It's in whose name we bear. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Someone died the other day, and Brother Milby's family, he said, he is a Christian. I say, before you get worry too much about being a good Baptist, you might ought to find out how to be a good Christian. Brother Rutherford's in heaven now. Sister Rutherford, but your husband said, I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. I'm just ashamed of some Baptist. And I am, aren't you? I'm ashamed of the apostasy. I'm ashamed of the deniers. I'm ashamed of the people who would go so far in the falsehood to not believe or preach that it don't take the blood anymore, or the virgin birth may not be so, or that Christ is not God in the flesh. I'm telling you, these are what makes us what we are. It's not that, listen, I believe in dressing modest, but that's not measuring skirts, friend. It's the foundational truths of the Word of God. I could preach on a lot of things, and I do hang around, but I'm glad tonight to be part of the church, ain't you? I'm glad to be part of a people who has stood true to some things. Luke said, there's some things that are most surely believed among us. The doctrines of grace, doctrines of baptism. We don't believe in infant baptism, we believe in immersion. I believe Philip was a Baptist, thank God. He went down and preached to the eunuch, amen, that's what it says, and they come to some water. And the Bible said that he went down in John. He went down in the water. John did, friend. They buried people. That's what you do with dead people. You bury them. I hardly ever preach on this, but it's on my heart. It's on my heart tonight. The man that preached the gospel to me, I lived in a little community. I'm just going to tell you, so I got to do this on my heart tonight. I lived in a little community where it really didn't matter what was above the door. I mean, there was a Methodist church. They shouted there, prayed in the altar there, got saved there. Never saw anyone sprinkled there. They tell me there was one individual before my time that was. But it was part of an organization of Protestant churches that started ordaining women, homosexuals, and everything. And I know it's divided them. But I went to the church I got saved in, New Liberty General Baptist Church, and the old preacher preached the gospel to me. He was preaching one night. I don't think he picked me out. I don't think he did whatsoever. I don't think he would have even done that. I think he would have come and talked to me. He got to preaching on some stuff. And he said, if I was a part of that mess, I'd get out for a morning. That's what he said to me. He said, I'd get out for a morning. He said, I'd get out of that false doctrine before morning. I've got to say this now. If where you go to church, if they don't believe in conviction and the drawing of the Holy Spirit and the awakening of the sinner, and the knowledge of the new birth through faith and repentance and faith. I'm not trying to get technical here. I'd get out of it for morning. I'd get out of it. I'd find me a church. You're not part of a church. You're part of a heretic church. You're part of something that's not got no foundation. When Christ, the principles of Christ, are not preached, there's nothing to stand upon. When the Word of God is not the rule, there's nothing to stand on. It's a rule of faith and practice, is it not? I'm telling you, I'd pray and let God help me. And I'd get under a preacher I could trust. I need to say this. I'd get under a preacher I could trust. Listen, if his wife, Lord help me. If his wife is not as good a wife as your wife, I'd first pray for him. But then I might go find me somewhere else to go. Am I out? Am I far out? I'm not trying to compare people. I mean, in the body, some are, we're different. But in the body, I know that in Christ there's neither male or female. But I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that in the day we live in, that everything calls itself a functioning church, and it's not. It's not a biblical church. It's not a church, I don't think, it has the authority of God on it. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, I'm going to be careful here because they was a mess in seven in Asia. And they all had their issues, and the Lord loved every one of them. I'm not talking about the being a perfect. Maybe I've overstepped it a little, but I'll tell you, I'd want to go somewhere where God was at. If the church is a habitation of God, I'd want to go where God was. I mean, do you worship in a place where God is? I find the same thing. I'm not all the time. I mean, we're meeting here together, but I find this at the church I pastor. What we've had here, do you? Listen, you don't have to settle for a dead church when the church is not dead. I've got to say this, it's on my heart, it may kill it all. But there's an old brother who drove them winding roads in the mountains to a church that I'd been at that was a wonderful church and still is. And he's not able to go there now by means of health. But here's what he said. They said, aren't there other churches you can go to? He said, plenty of them. But he said, you cannot get a hamburger at a hot dog stand. And I don't say that to be flagrant. I don't say that to be funny. This is no place for joking. But if you've got babies, they need the church. They need the man of God. And they need somebody that understands what I'm preaching. That hell is on the defense and God's people are on the offense. They need a preacher who will fight fire with the word of God. And he's not afraid. And I don't always preach like that, but it's on my heart. I mean, you better pray about this thing. I mean, listen, I thought there was a time that I was going to have to pull up roots and move, and I'm rooted deeply to them little hills where I'm at. But we've got some forefathers in the grave, and their spirits are in heaven that left England over the church. When they could not worship and serve God under tyranny, they said, we won't have it. We want God. We're the church. And we'll not settle. And a lot of them died on the way, but they'd have rather been dead as the plague church. I know I'm in the right tonight. I know I'm in the right. I feel it too strong in my heart. You need to make a decision in your heart. What you want to be a part of tonight. Woo! Listen to me. Every now and then, when you go to the assembly, if you got a man of God, he'll tan your hide and love you while he's doing it. Don't you get mad at that preacher and leave your church. You go to a good church, the church down the road's probably not going to like you because they ain't a dime a dozen no more. And y'all know it's true. I've been there, I know. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm glad I'm part of the church, ain't you? I'm glad I'm part of it. I ain't ashamed of it, are you? I've been to people's houses. They wouldn't want to tell me what they was, where they went to church. Like is ashamed of it. Sometimes I wonder some people that go to ours. Ain't ashamed of me and my wife. I can't help it. What God's put in my heart's in my heart. He put it in there, Brother Craig. That's all I know. And he put it in there. Yes, sir. Somebody needs to hear me. Understand I'm real tonight. Are you part of a kind of church you want to be associated with? Playing games all the time? The church's mission is to preach the gospel and love people. The main ministry is to carry the message and back it up, support it. Send men to preach it, right? Support men who preach it. And then there's other ministries of the church. There wasn't a Bible and can be today. Visit the fatherless, widows in their afflictions. I've been studying that widows indeed, and it's hard to find one. But if there is one, take care of her. Ain't that right? It's in the Bible. help people. The Bible said the church is a city, like a city. It's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Do you hear that? Cannot be hid. Do you really get that? Cannot be hid. That's just as much right there is the scripture I'm reading, a text I'm taking tonight. That the gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is a light that cannot be hid. I think in a community, a country, a neighborhood, a civilization where the church is not at and light and light, shining light to them people, God is dead. Or they question if there is a God. But when the church is there, there is a light that cannot be hid. It brings condemnation on that whole realm of people. People pass them every Sunday morning where the church meets. We must be careful of confining ourselves to four walls. I don't know why I try to pray about this. What am I supposed to do, Lord? What am I supposed to do? But all the preachers in my area, Brother Strode, where I live now, the old-time Baptists don't believe you ought to have speakers in the church. And their favorite preacher, Brother Strode, put loudspeakers on the outside of the church and preached, and the gospel would roar out in the community. They're regressing. Traditions will kill you. About kill me. I'd go somewhere, if there's a microphone, I couldn't get past it. I'd rather have went to where there wasn't no padded pews and nothing. It was just primitive to me. Give me a warm feeling. That ain't always God. That ain't always God. I know some people who refuse to change anything when it comes down to furniture in the church. But they won't take a stand for God for nothing at the workplace. And they think they're holding on. They're not holding on. They're holding back. They're hindering. That's right. I can't help but this in my heart tonight. I never thought of these things. Brother, we're a dying, but the church is not dying. What am I saying? You better yoke up with it and go on, or it'll run off and leave you. It'll run off and leave you, and if it leaves you, then your kids will die lost. If it leaves you, it'll leave you behind, and your family, and everybody else with it. Are you hearing me tonight? I'd quit picking at everything, and I'd get me a place just like I preached where I thought God had chose to dwell there. If my heart wasn't right, I'd ask the preacher, could I at least sit on the second pew from the back? And I'd go. Had some young ladies, we had a choir loft at church, and they would come, and it was embarrassing. Their skirts was way up here, embarrassing. And it hurt me. And I didn't just pound it immediately. I prayed, and I'm like, and then I would preach maybe to the ladies how I needed help, and just try. Until one day God said, deal with it, and I broke. I mean, splattered in front of everybody. Broke down, got on the floor. I've not embarrassed you. You've embarrassed yourself. That's what I said. I said, put you on some britches. Get on the back row. Don't leave. That's as good as the devil wants. But get on the back row and stay there until you get your heart right, until you can sing for God again. I'm talking about major indecency, folks. People will leave the church over that. Get mad. It's always the preacher. I don't understand. I've got to preach, preacher. I don't understand why that the deacons want to have the control. And I'm not a ranting, I'm preaching. The deacons want to have the control. They want to call the shots. And then you got this board and that board and the Sunday school teacher. And all they want the preacher to do is come in at 11 and then preach and go home. But if anything goes wrong, it's always his fault. How can these things be? They can't be. They're not, brother. These things can't be. They're not. And that's not a biblically operating church. That's not biblically operating. That's not biblically operating. Am I right? No, sir. That's not biblically operating. And I may drop that right there and let you do the homework. But that's not biblically operating. That's not the right kind of church you want to be a part of. In that type of atmosphere, you will raise weak boys. That's you want to be men. In that type of atmosphere, you will raise strong women out of place. They never did come to me who loved them and watched for their souls. I'm not ranting. This needs to be preached tonight. They never came to me and said, Brother Jeremy, I know you love me and I think this needs to be done. No, they didn't come to me. They'd go to some deacon over here. Well, he loved it. They love it. If you're here and you're a good man in your church and the pastor says, I think you ought to be a deacon. And I know that the apostles told the church to seek out 7 men. If you're ever set aside to be a deacon and from a lay member to a deacon, you're stepping down. Is that right? You're stepping down. So you need to let your chest in, deacon. Don't be proud about it. And listen, I tell you what. If you'll use that office well, you will purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith. You get 70, 80, 90 years old and you've got your ordination certificate on the wall and you've supported that preacher and stood firm for God, I will honor and respect you for it. But if you ain't done nothing but cause trouble and wreak havoc, you're an enemy of God. This tape, this CD, it ain't getting far enough within these walls. It needs to go farther. It needs to go farther. You hear me tonight? It's true, ain't it? It's true. It's so true. If you're at home, plowing your field, going home supper to your wife every night, you got a good life. But if you get drafted into the army, you've been drafted into a responsibility of service. So a deacon. You get to come in on Sunday morning, sit on the pew and say amen to the preacher and go home with no responsibility. I'd stay there as long as I could. I'd be faithful. I'd shout if I felt like shouting. I'd pray. I'd do everything I felt like doing. But if you ever get ordained a deacon, you're stepping under responsibility. That's right. That's service to the church and to the preacher. To serve the preacher. To be his friend. His friend. I called a deacon one time and I said, how do you think things is going? And I mean, I knew the conniving that was going on. And I asked him, how do you think things are going? Well, I don't know. That's all I needed to know. Let me know where he was. Where are you at tonight? What about your church? What kind of church do we want to have? Me, myself. I weigh all this out in my mind. I've questioned, am I too hard here, Lord? Am I too hard there? I want to be balanced. I believe you fill my heart tonight. I don't want to be a radical. I want to be balanced. But if you're a good Muslim and you blow people up, you're a radical. You're just a good Muslim. That's all you're being. It's true. Study them. They're not being radical. They're just being a good Muslim. And if you go to church, rain, sleet, snow, you'd rather go to hear preaching as to a ball game. I'm not even condemning a ball game. I'm just saying when it's, you know, when I'm not trying to be too hard. I'm just saying when the world, you know, you're radical. You're like, you don't never miss. You're a radical to people. How could you ever want to be at that place so much? They don't understand it, do they? I don't know why they don't. But buddy, I'm in, ain't you? I'm in. I don't need a break from it. If I got a break from preaching Sunday, I'd want to go to your church. I might need to sit on a pew every now and then. That's okay. But I'd want to go hear you preach. Or you preach. Oh God. What would I be telling my little kids? But listen, we're faced with some decisions tonight. We're talking about the church. It's everything. I mean, you study this New Testament, friend. It's the church. It's everything. I mean, it's what He came for. It's what He sought out. It's what He left heaven for. It's what He went back to heaven for. It's what He's coming again for. The church. It's the church, Brother Larry. He's coming again. And I believe the church is looking for Him. There's a lot of people claim to be saved, and I don't know. I can't look into their heart. They don't seem to be looking for Him. But there are people who are. I kind of am, ain't you? I can't say I'm like the lady who goes out on the hill and sits on the and when the sun rises, and she said, Lord, I thought she's going to come today. What are you going to do tomorrow? I'll go out there again. I don't necessarily wake up every morning and look up.
But consciously and spiritually, I am aware. And I cling to that promise that He give me and that He give the church. And I'm looking for it. You said it, brother, that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. He's coming again. He's coming for His church. He's coming for His bride. He's coming for what He paid for. It's His, thank God. Oh, yeah. He paid for it, bought it lock, stock, and barrel. He's paid it in full, thank God. And He's coming again for it. And unto them which look for Him, shall He appear the second time. He's coming, ain't He? He's coming, ain't He? He's coming. Some people believe that once we leave here, we'll never be back. Some believe we'll come back. We got possibly premillennials and amillennials here. And I'm not going to get into that to divide us. We ought not be divided over such. Is that okay for me to say that that's not a cardinal doctrine? That's prophetic doctrines. Different interpretations there. I'm not going to fall out with you, and I ask you to be the man I am. And not fall out with me. Because how I see it. How I interpret it. I want to be right, and you want to be right. But God is right. It needs to be said. There's too much division in the real church. Too much division in the real church. I'm talking about the real church. I'm not talking about the apostate church. I'm talking about the church where I can go and feel the power of God. Where God dwells. And they're fighting one another. He told us to take heed. We bite one another. We can be devoured of one another. We got to be careful. Now, when you preach these messages on grudging and forgiveness and all these things, you know who they're for? They're not for the world. They're for the church. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament to the church. To the church. It is about the church. People say, I'm saved, but I don't go. I'd find somewhere I could. Find somewhere you can. You're missing out on the greatest thing of going. Oh, yes. Brother Robert was here with me yesterday morning. We was going home. He said, preacher, I was a-soaking. I said, well, that's what Brother Massey said. He was soaking. He said, you know, he's a member of the church I pastor. He said, you know, Brother Yokely, Brother Jeremy, he talks to me personally. He said, if I don't get that every now and then, I get in a bad way. I get in a bad way. My wife will sometimes will go, and she'll go 2, 3, 4 Sundays. And I get to wanting to hear from her. I get to wanting to hear from her. And that breeze begins to blow where that assembly is. Ain't nothing special, and it's pretty. God give us a pretty little building, didn't He, preacher? Ain't nothing special about the building much. Now, we've dedicated it for God. Brother Ken preached the message on look what God's done at our dedication. My dad had a stroke, and it broke him a little emotionally. And he used to wouldn't let it out. He'll let her out now. He framed them ceilings, and I was working up there, and I've never seen my dad so particular. We dropped the ceiling fans down in that little raised ceiling. We bought them old hay barn trusses. It's all they were, scissor trusses. They're a little cheaper in cathedral, and it's the same thing. And we put that tongue and groove up there, and we dropped them ceilings down. Brother West helped us on it. Several did, churches, some of you. And we made us a place to go worship our God on Sunday morning. Amen. On that first day of the week, thank God, where the church has been assembled ever since that morning, that they ran to that tomb and found out He'd got up. Amen. Am I preaching too long tonight? You better be happy and thankful you're part of the church tonight. It's the only thing worth being a part of hardly anymore. That's where you better get your family there. You better build your life around the church. You better not see if there's room in your life for the church. Better build your life around the church. It's a shame we can't just decide we're going to have church on Friday night and every member come. Is it not? Am I wrong? Is that too hard? It's a shame. Why could we not? I know people's got things they like to do. I talked to some people come to our church tonight, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I've dropped the grandkids off at my father-in-law's, and we're going over to Harper's Catfish, and me and my wife's going to eat. I was tickled to death for them. That's good for a family. It ain't good as church. I get to looking for my wife every now and then. I get to looking for her. Sister Neil, you're one of her best friends. I get to looking for her some Sundays, and I'll see it. She'll get to testifying or crying first, usually. Finally, it'll break out on her. Son, she'll go orbit. She'll get to shouting
and praising God. Amen. And I say, thank you, God. I'm glad I got three little girls that sees that pretty regular. I'm accounting on the church. Ain't you? I'm accounting on there being somebody, some people, somewhere that'll stay with God. I ain't wanting to be an old hard nose and not love or show my love. I'm like Brother Jones. I mean, if they come in, and I want them in. I want them to come and hear what God's got to say. I mean, and I don't beat my people down over the head that ain't doing everything right or everything like I think they ought to. I know they got a God inside of them, though. If I preach under that power that we know is real, He'll speak to them like He spoke to me so many times and is still doing so. You find that at the church. You find this within the body of Christ. You, nobody will love you. I preached a message at our place here a while back over there in the Old Testament where He said, come go with us. We'll do thee good. And I ain't never felt such a pull in my heart how to reach out to those families who come to our church. Some of them's nearly 40 years old, never was even took to church. I said, I'm talking about a people who will love you more than flesh and blood. I'm talking about a people who will help you bury your loved ones like nobody else will, who will cry with you when you cry, who will shout with you when you shout. I'm talking about the church. That's a church. When one member suffers, we all suffer. Ain't no room in a church for high heads and hard hearts. Friend, we're members of one another. May God help us to march on to victory. He fought a battle, some of you sing. He fought a battle, we've won. Thank God. Isaiah 55, is it there? 50-something, 40-something. Here, we got a leader and a commander. It's our Lord. He went through it before us as commander-in-chief, as high priest, as media, as everything. He fulfills everything that we ever needed. In Him, He filleth, Ephesians 1, I think, filleth all. And last night, yesterday, one was so good. I'm not the moderator, and I didn't want to interrupt. And they sang A Beggar and a King, the Brights did, and it was so wonderful. But I almost said, sing that song. He's my all in all. Yeah, because Brother Logan was preaching about getting under that tree, and I need to quit. But I'll say this to what he preached. I'm glad that when I get under the tree, if it's that tree at Calvary, he'll be there. Yes, sir. Zacchaeus got under the tree, didn't he? And I like to get under the tree every now and then, right at the foot of it, the one where the blood flows down, where I can find cleansing, where I can find peace, where I can find fellowship, where I can find a connection with God. I don't know what you need tonight, but I hope this has encouraged you. I hope you're happier tonight than you were last night or this morning. Not that I'm anything, but that you're a part of the church. Oh, yes, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Yes, sir. Amen. We're supposed to be good to one another. We're supposed to be good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Oh, yes. Oh, we need to love one another. Help one another. I need your help. Everything you do don't suit me. Do you know that? I'm sure everything I do, the way I preach, the way I have, everything may not suit you. But I'm one of God's. Romans 14 says, this brother says he can't eat meat. This brother says he can't. He said, don't despise one another for it. He said, God's received him. What are we going to do with that? God's received him. That's right. Let God work on him. There are some things that God's got to fix. I can't. But I'm glad He's still working on me. Next time the little children get up in front of church and sing, it took Him just a week to make the moon and a star, sun and earth, Jupiter and Mars. He's still working on me, brother. That's me and you. That's me and you He's really working on. This old earth, He's going to be done with it one day. He ain't never done with the church. He's going to spend eternity with the church. Thank God. Ain't you glad you're part of the church, of the building? I know the wind's blowing tonight. She's still standing. She's still standing. Hey, I know that the devil's pierced her hard. Throwed many darts at her. But the body's still intact. Them joints and bands. They built that wall over there, but they daubed it with untempered mortar. But God has built a house with each one of us. Placed us in the body as it pleased Him. Took us as lively stones. Built up a spiritual house. Brother Henderson preached here one time about it. He said, God says, He don't fit here. But I've got a place for Him over here. I believe that God's got a place for you in the church. Brother Craig, in the church. I'm glad He didn't leave me out. I'm glad He didn't save me and say, no, you go on, Jeremy. But He put me with some people. I identified with them. They buried me by baptism down at the river and identified with the church. Why don't none of us ever preach on baptism no more, do you? I do. I was preaching to our church and we're almost 2 years old and we ain't never took the Lord's Supper. I was preaching last Sunday on Joseph and the butler and the baker. And I was preaching on how could I forget? And he forgot that, Joseph, did he not? And God was preaching on how could I forget? And I was preaching on some ways we can remember. We can remember when we gather around that table, brother. And we take that bread and wine. He said, do this, did He not, church? In remembrance of me. Did He not? Maybe we need to commune a little. Break a little bread. Take some fruit of the vine. As Brother Milby did, he wondered what was wrong. I'm trying to quit preaching. I'm going to quit. He wondered what was wrong. You remember? And you found that spot on your Bible, didn't you? Where he took the Lord's Supper and got happy. Spilt a little of it. And it hit his page and God said, you get back the way you were right there. If you get back to right there, the church will look a lot better. Amen. Won't it? Looks a lot better. Amen.
Jerry, you're going to be the only preacher. You ain't done. You go ahead. You got another hour. I'm going to give you another hour.
Amen. He said, a fella said.
Go ahead, preacher. Tell it, preacher.
This is his story. He said, that preacher, that man said, once you come to church, he said, I can't go there. Hypocrites are. Correct me if I get the moral of that story. There's people there. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You just forget all that. You come on. You get saved. You join this church, and then you'll hunt them up. And if they are hypocrites and they ain't right, we'll deal with them.
Yeah.
That old boy got saved. He was that after a while, a preacher baptized him. Then he goes to him and he says, now, let me talk about something. What about them people? So bad, mean, hypocrites. He said, well, I've been looking for them. I can't find them. You better watch it. Church is good people. I mean, listen, they are. I mean, let's not let a few, and I know, Brother Ronnie, a little hypocrite, a little even does leave a hold of them. There's some things that does need to be put out. There was one in Toria that needed to be dealt with. I'm not trying to override church discipline. I'm telling you,
preacher.
The church, you're as bad as the devil's.
That's right.
It's God's bride. It's God's Father.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, if you ain't a part of it, if you ain't functioning with it, working in it, doing it, you're missing out. You're missing out. Isn't that right? Someone was talking about grace. Brother Samuel, Brother Bob Garrett's son, did this at Brother Jenkins. Let him get up, you know. He got up and he gave a devotion and had prayer. He said, I thank God for grace. I always have. The picture of grace, David showing kindness, the Mephibosheth. Yeah. Goes and gets him. Puts him on the table. Table grace. Thank God for it. You get on that table, that cripple wasn't noticed no more. Everybody looks the same at God's table. I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
Christianity is growth. It's growing, isn't it? In grace.
Yes. Yes.
He said that grace that he had that day was there the next day. Brought him to the table again.
Yes.
Brought him to the table again.
Yes.
Brought him to the table again.
Yeah.
I'm a grace man.
Yeah.
Paul said, I am what I am. I have a grace man.
I thank
God for grace. I thank God for Calvary. God's working in my life. I'm thankful. I've thought about about quitting too, you know. I've thought about quitting too. I thought about just on a Sunday morning maybe having a little thing there at the house with my wife and kids. She was hurt, I was hurt. But you know what I found out? I needed the church.
Amen.
I needed to assemble with some other people that knew God.
Yes.
And God gave me some. There was even a man in our church that I love. I still love him. I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't intentional. He picked at my little girls all the time. And he quit doing that because he wasn't satisfied with me. Now, that's me.
That's me.
And I just give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't really understand what he's doing. He may not even know he did it. It's possible. He just got sold. I pray and meet. That cover on that wall says, we moreover engage that when we leave this church, as soon as possible, we go to some other church where we can unite with some other church that we can carry out the spirit of this covenant. The principles of God's word, and that's on the wall. We're held accountable to it. It's on the wall.
That's right.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Are we not? Pretty well. If it's biblical, we are. And I thought I was going to quit and go home.
Yeah.
I prayed, and down over about 15 miles was Durham Springs Missionary Baptist Church, Brother Jason Arbner is the pastor there. He was a talent right. And immediately, Brother West, I thought about coming to your church. I thought about moving over there. The Holy Spirit said, go over there. Now, the first time we went over there, my first Sunday, guess what was? They got up and they got to sing that song about the unseen man. And I
felt
it. I didn't see it, but I felt it.
Yes, sir.
It was upon my heart. We harbored over there for 2 years. They loved us, and Mr. Gallagher's had a stroke. If you ever go there, he'll get up and testify. You'll thank the Lord, but he's had a stroke. His name's William Edward. And I don't know why, but they call him Hootie. You know, the first thing God put in my life, in myself's life, when we left the church I pastored, our home church, I've been there 5 years, you know what he put in our life first? Hootie. He became all and more that man was and that he knew with my little girls. And they was real little. And we'd say, what's going to happen at church? Girls, when you get out of the car, and they'd mimic you. They'd say, Hoopy would say, come here, girls. Love. Man, a church is love. A church should be full of love. And God, you don't find that in the world. You'll find it in the church. I got family that loves me because of blood again, but if it wasn't, they would love. I'll just be somebody else. But the tie runs deep between me and you, brother.
Amen.
Part of the church.
Yeah.
We're going to spend eternity together.
Right.
Ain't nothing the devil knew about it.
That's right.
Ain't nothing he knew about it.
That's right.
We're part of the church.
Yes.
God, give us brotherhood to love our girls.
Amen.
Give us a preacher that had preached to us. He wasn't even married. I felt like getting him to come and preach on the home, and it tore in people all to pieces. How's he preaching on the home like that? He ain't even got a family. And I know it makes it easier if you do, when you do learn a lot. But he just preached what Paul preached about the home. It's wonderful. God put him in our life. Give me a pastor. I said, Brother Jason, before I come, I said, it's in my heart to pastor some people that I was pastoring that aren't attending there now and they don't know where to go. I said, what am I? I said, won't you know that up front? I said, I don't want to bring no trouble. He said, if it's of God, me, and my people will know it. Pretty good, ain't it?
Yeah.
And we went there close to 2 years until we got our building done. We were 9 of us lettered out of that church under an extended arm of fellowship and became our own independent Baptist church.
Amen.
By the way, Baptist church. And God meets with us. Church, and I praise him for it.
Yeah.
I love the Lord now, before I started preaching. Oh, yeah, it's something, brother, pastor, church.
Yeah.
You couldn't hire nobody. To move up our top where you live. Pay them enough to pay you enough to quit.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
I love you, preacher. I love you, Brother Ken. I'm trying to quit. Can we just have church? What are we going to do? I don't know what to do.
Praise God.
I love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail.
Right.
We're on the offense tonight. We've got the devil scared. You believe that? Can we? I believe we can. How could we not? How could the scripture be true? Resist the devil and he'll flee. Don't tell him run. Then we'll draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. Maybe we need to scrooch up tonight. Old Brother Jones is dead down home, and he said, we need to scrooch up a little closer to God. Maybe we need to move up tonight. Maybe you're taking your church for granted, your pastor for granted. Maybe you're trying to operate unscriptural. It won't work. God's got a system he made, and he don't operate outside of it, does he? It's just really true. I love you tonight. I appreciate you praying for me.